because you see good behavior. But good character is actually something that is being tested and being proven over time. It is formed and revealed through time and trials of life. And when it is tested, when a person is tested, the real character of the person comes to light. And when you see a growing match between what someone says they believe and how they actually live, between the inner person and the outer person, then you are seeing character. And so it's important in a Christian's life, in our lives, to realize that we're not talking about perfection, but we're talking about a life that is being tested and shown to be genuine, shown to be real. Character is a major theme in the Bible and, of course, in the book of Proverbs. And one of the key related words is the word integrity. And so at the very heart of the word integrity is the idea of being whole and undivided in one's moral and spiritual life. It's a person whose inner life and outer life correspond. There's no conflict between it. What is seen on the outside is true on the inside. It's a person, we use the language, of one piece. The opposite is a duplicitous person, a person who is double-minded. A person of integrity is single-minded and simple. Simple. And since we're talking about genuine Christianity, it means that a person of integrity is a Christian inwardly and outwardly. And while it's possible for someone to pretend to be a Christian, to put up an appearance, eventually what is true about the person, if you know the person long enough, seen the person through hardship, will eventually surface. And when there's a permanent mismatch between someone's profession and their practice, there is a lack of integrity. So tonight, as we consider that topic, if someone had to ask you or comment on your life, would they say that you're a person of integrity? A person of one piece. That's what we're called to be. And so let's turn to Proverbs to see how it encourages us and teaches us to be exactly that, a person of one piece. And so our key text we're going to look at tonight is Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9, I'll read it to us. If you have your Bible, it's good if you go there. It's always good to have these verses and see them in black and white. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. But whoever makes his ways crooked will be found out. Now, what's very common in the wisdom books in the Bible, and particularly in Proverbs, is that life is portrayed or pictured as a journey. And it contrasts two different ways of walking this journey with two very different outcomes. That's what we see in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. So let's look at the first person. So the first person is the one of integrity and is described as walking a straight path. This is a life that is whole, consistent, and faithful to the Lord. It carries the idea, even though the language isn't, but it carries the idea of covenant faithfulness. Living in a right relationship with God and therefore with other people. What such a person believes, says, and does line up. They aim to live before the Lord with an undivided loyalty. Doing what he commands, avoiding what he forbids. And the result is security and stability. And because this life isn't split between what's open and what is hidden about them, they don't have to constantly guard themselves, watch their backs, and fear to be exposed. Instead, they walk with a quiet confidence, resting in the Lord's approval and care and his protection. And that's the first person that's being described, the person of integrity. Let's look at the other side. The person without integrity is described as walking a crooked path. Actually, this person is not just on the crooked path. The person is on that path because they twist what they say and what they do. They live with divided loyalties, mixed motives. Rather than living in covenant faithfulness to the Lord, they follow what seems to be right and beneficial to themselves. Their life is shaped more by self-interest than obedience and service. The result is insecurity and instability. A life built on deception cannot be a settled life. There's always the pressure of maintaining appearance, the fear of being found out, the anxiety of when things will start to unravel. As the proverb makes clear, what's crooked cannot be hidden forever. It will eventually be brought to light, and the person will have to give an account. In short, one who walks in integrity walks securely before the Lord because their life is marked by covenant faithfulness and truth. But the one who twists their ways can never enjoy lasting security because there's crookedness and cover-ups, and they will eventually be exposed. So think of your own life. What characterizes your journey? Straightness, covenant faithfulness, truth, and security before the Lord, or crookedness, cover-ups, insecurity, and the certain prospect of being exposed. And not necessarily being exposed in this life, but being exposed by the Lord himself. Throughout the book of Proverbs, we encourage to be people of integrity. People who walk a straight path and don't twist their ways. Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to look at two key proverbs that actually encourage us to walk that kind of a life. So the first proverb there is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 32. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 32. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. Now, can you see that the person who lacks integrity, the one with twisted path, is here called a devious person? And then the person who walks in integrity is called the upright. Now, the key point of this proverb is the radically different way in which the Lord relates to each one of them. The devious person lacking integrity is called, listen to this, an abomination to the Lord. This is one of the strongest expressions in the Bible of God's divine rejection. In sharp contrast, the upright person, the one with integrity, is brought into the Lord's confidence. What an amazing thought. It conveys an intimacy, a trust, and a privileged access to counsel, guidance, and favor. There is no shortcut to knowing what the Lord wants us to do in every circumstance of life, unless we are prepared to walk the path of integrity. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 32 therefore teaches that the greatest blessing isn't worldly success gained through manipulation and crookedness, but closeness to the Lord Himself. An intimate relationship reserved for those who walk in integrity. Think about it. What gain will it be to have all that the world offers at the cost of integrity? Even more, at the cost of fellowship with the Lord, because integrity and fellowship with the Lord go hand in hand. So the driving force for integrity is a relational thing. It's not just merely ethics. It's fellowship with the Lord. And those who persist in crooked ways reveal at a deeper level how little they value communion with God. Let's look at the second verse in Proverbs. There are many, but we'll do just one more that encourages us to walk in integrity and give us good reason to do so. So this is Proverbs 11 verse 3. Proverbs 11 verse 3. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Here the person of integrity is called upright, and the person without integrity is called treacherous. Now, normally to us, treacherous is associated with a person who walks a very dangerous path. That is true. But in the Bible, if you are called treacherous, you know what you are? You're a covenant breaker. You're a person who are not loyal to God, not loyal to people. You're a treacherous person because you are breaking relationships. That is what a treacherous person is. And so the central point from this proverb is that integrity is far more than a moral quality. And a lack of integrity is far more than a moral failure. Integrity acts like a compass in a person. It gives them a sense that will guide them. It gives them a sensitivity when it's almost like your conscience. But it's a conscience that is super sensitive, that can detect things when it's off or when it will get you in trouble. You get a discomfort and you know that this is wrong. And so it guides you and it protects you. The person with integrity is governed by a covenant loyalty. And that loyalty towards the Lord starts to flow in loyalty to other people, to your spouse, to your church, to your friends, to your family, and the list goes on. A treacherous person is not ruled by covenant faithfulness, but is ruled by crookedness, cutting corners, doing what serves self and what is beneficial in the moment. And you know what will happen? That very thing will become their downfall. Having despised the Lord's covenant, they don't just merely forfeit the covenant blessings of God. They actually attract the very opposite, the curses. So, we've looked at a key text to understand integrity, and we've looked at two texts to motivate us to live lives of integrity. Now, what Proverbs does, it gives us a host of examples of what integrity looks like in practice. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to just go through six Proverbs quickly, and we're going to see what does integrity look like in practice, in everyday situations. So let's go to the first proverb. It's Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. Now, you'll notice not all of the verses will have the word integrity in there, but the concept sits in the verse. So the first one is Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. A person of integrity is shaped by God's truth in the heart. And that truth in the heart starts to shape what they say and what they do. They don't twist the facts. They don't mislead others or put a false front on to make themselves look better than what they are. Because the Lord hates falsehood. Instead, they're honest in what they say, they keep their word, they deal faithfully with people. And these are qualities that the Lord delights in. So that's our first example, is being truthful in what we say and do. The second proverb is example of integrity is Proverbs 17, verse 23. Let's look at that one. The wicked accepts a bribe in secret to pervert the ways of justice. Now, can you see what the issue here is? Is secrecy. So someone gets the opportunity of doing what is corrupt for personal benefit in secret. No one will know. But what the problem is if someone perverts justice, taking a bribe, you know what they're doing? Is they punishing the innocent, they're rewarding the guilty, and they're corrupting society. They've done it at personal benefit. No one else knows there's a cover-up. Integrity will not do that. Let's go to the next one. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 and 7. Now the word integrity is explicit in the text. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 and 7. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love. That's a covenantal term, steadfast love. But a faithful man, who can find? The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Now, integrity is proven by genuine covenant faithfulness over time and through trials. And it doesn't promote itself. Often when people don't have integrity, when they are not faithful, they make claims about being faithful. But the person with true integrity show it by their action. And they show it through time, and they show it through severe testing. They consistently walk in steadfast love and trustworthiness because they reflect the character of God, who is exactly that towards them. And such a life leaves a lasting impact. We can teach our children everything about God, but if we are not faithful and we don't walk a path of covenant loyalty and love, there's something fundamentally missing in our witness. But when it is there, there's integrity and there's a power that then brings blessings to the next generation. Let's go to the next one. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 6. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. The person of integrity refuses to cheat, to exploit people or to cut ethical corners in work or in business. Even if that, listen to this, means that the person will be a poor man or woman for the rest of their lives. They value uprightness, honesty, diligence more than material wealth, and certainly more than treasures gained by wickedness. How different is this from what we see in the world? They are content with whatever the Lord gives them, whether it's much or whether it's little. Why are they content? What do they have that makes them so content? They have the Lord. They have the Lord Himself. See, if you have the Lord, are you going to chase riches? If you know you have everything you need because you have the Lord. And that is why this doesn't have power over them. Let's go to the next one. We have two more examples. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. The person of integrity doesn't hide, excuse, or cover up their sin to protect themselves. Instead, they come humbly before the Lord, admitting their sin. In sincerity, they're turning away from it. Now, can you see that the very thing that people sometimes to protect is the thing they lose when they cover things up? But the person who comes to the Lord knows, I can expose myself before the Lord, and the Lord shows the person mercy. Let's go to our last example of integrity. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6. Do not add to his words, that's the Lord's words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. The person of integrity does not twist scripture to say what they want the Bible to say. And of course, this is an enormous responsibility on a preacher, isn't it? And it's also a huge responsibility on all of us who call ourselves Christians, and to very clearly distinguish between what is God actually saying in His Word and what is my opinion. And there are some Christians who go around and share their opinion as if it comes with God's authority. That is not integrity. Can you see that? And so as Christians, we have to be disciplined. We can't drag God into all of our opinions as if it was His opinion. A person of integrity does not do that. They come humbly and submit to God's word as pure, perfect, sufficient, and entirely trustworthy. Now, I just want to say about something about the sufficiency of the Bible. Does the Bible answer all of our questions? Does it? No, it doesn't. But sometimes we really want the Bible to answer all the questions. And so sometimes we give an answer where the Bible doesn't actually give an answer. But does the Bible answer all the questions that need to be answered? Yes. So the Bible is sufficient. So here we have it, just a sample of what integrity looks like. It's honest in speech. It's sound in judgment, it's loyal in relationships, it's fair in business, it's repentant about sin, and it's reverent toward the Word of God. And the key thing about integrity, this is true, not just when everything goes well, but when we are under pressure, and when we are really being tested, it is then that integrity shows itself. In which area in your life is your integrity being tested? We all go through tests, don't we? Perhaps it's in your interaction with someone in the family. Perhaps someone very close to you. How you treat that person. What about someone at church who has let you down? Or your not so friendly neighbor? Perhaps for you, it's in your workplace when no one is watching. Or what you say behind people's back. Or what you do in competition in the workplace or in business. Remember, integrity is tested when there is pressure to compromise, conceal, exaggerate, or live inconsistently. And that is why we must hold on to integrity and treasure it, because it will guide us and protect us. And what's ultimately at stake when we let slip of our integrity is our covenant loyalty to God. Lastly, we're going to do one thing, one more thing. And this is answering the question, how can we actually be a people of integrity? How can we be people who are whole and undivided in our moral and spiritual life? How can we be people of one piece? Now, who among us can make himself or herself whole? When sin fractures and corrupts us, who can mend it? Who can fix what is broken inside? We cannot. We cannot. Only the Lord can. I'm going to read a text from the Old Testament, from Jeremiah, and listen how the Lord makes us whole. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 39 and 40. I, says the Lord, will give them, that is my people, listen to this, one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for their own good and the good of their children after them. I will make with them an everlasting covenant, that I will not turn away from doing them good, and I will put my fear in their hearts, that they will not turn from me. Integrity is not the result of severe self-discipline or moral self-improvement. It is the fruit of God's covenant grace. In His everlasting covenant, He gives people a new and united heart with a singular purpose of fearing and following Him. In this covenant, the Lord doesn't cease to do them good. Rather, His steadfast goodness starts to overflow to their children and their children's children. And it's in the context of God's covenant loyalty and love from generation to generation that integrity is both born and cultivated. A people of integrity are formed within God's covenant community, where they live in fellowship with Him and with one another. There are so many things of our Christian walk that we never learn when we are in isolation. That is the sadness of the modern church. There's a lot of people who think they can do it by themselves. They can do it on the internet. The reality is we need to share life with, walk closely alongside, and learn from other Christians who are all in a covenant relationship with the Lord through union with Christ. In other words, we need the church, and we need the church to be the church, the true body of Christ. What is the church without Christ? What is the covenant apart from Christ? He is the one who inaugurates the covenant. In other words, He started it and initiated it with His blood. He is the one who mediates the covenant. So he administers the covenant blessings. He is the one who is the guarantor of the covenant, who makes sure that everything that sits inside of God's covenant is coming to pass. But the Bible actually pushes us further. For us who have been doing the book of Isaiah, there is an absolute amazing verse. I'm going to add this very short, a phrase. And just listen to this. The Lord says, and he speaks to his own son, who is called my servant. And he says this to his servant, I will give you as a covenant for the people. Christ is not merely the mediator in all of those things of the covenant. He is the covenant. In Christ, God's covenant purposes are embodied. So that means that everything of how covenant people live, they see in Christ. And it's through him that they receive those blessings, are enabled to live that way. All the covenant blessings can only be enjoyed in union with Christ. That's the point. That's what the Bible is teaching. In union with Christ, fractured sinners are being made whole. And integrity is both born and grows. So to grow in integrity, this is the question. Are we united to Christ in his church? God's covenant community, where his covenant blessings are enjoyed, so that we are being made whole and enabled to grow in integrity. Brothers and sisters, let us devote ourselves to more fully know Christ and fellowship with one another, his covenant people, and we shall walk in integrity. As Proverbs chapter 10 verse 9 commends us, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. And we will walk securely. May God bless his word to us tonight.